some penalties that would be very severe to my two teenage kids at home. If you lost your driver's license, that would be very detrimental. That, or maybe the cell phone might be worse. But that would be a severe penalty for teenagers, for enforcement of attending school.
Let's talk a little bit about parents. Isn't there something to maybe punish parents who are sometimes part of the problem?
Welcome to Lawmakers Spotlight. I'm Donna Lowry. Here you will find in-depth interviews with Georgia lawmakers and leaders on the issues driving the legislative session. These conversations go beyond the headlines to explore how decisions are made and what they mean for you and your community.
Education issues are more likely to bring Republicans and Democrats together more than almost any other issue. Everyone wants young Georgians prepared for the workforce. Joining me is the vice chair of the Majority Caucus, Republican Senator Clint Dixon of Gwinnett County. He's chair of state and local government relations and vice chair of transportation. He's also on the Education and Youth Committee. Also joining us is Democratic Senator Derek Mallow of Savannah. He is Secretary of the Senate Ethics Committee. Some of his other committees include Children and Families and Economic Development and Tourism. Welcome to Lawmakers, to both of you. I appreciate this. As we get into a discussion on absenteeism, I want to give some background. Georgia's 2024 chronic absenteeism rate is 21.3%, and students are considered chronically absent for missing 10% or more days of school. Now, chronic absences negatively affect instruction. According to the Professional Association of Georgia Educators, or PAGE, it lowers academic achievement, leads to social disengagement, increases risk of dropping out, and leads to higher poverty rates in adulthood. A recent PAGE study found nearly two-thirds of teachers say chronic absenteeism negatively affects their ability to teach children who are present. Nearly 69% of teachers report spending class time on remediation for chronically absent students. And I know both of you have heard these figures, and also let's dig into them a little bit. You've studied, we had that study committee on this topic. What did you hear from people who testified?
Yeah, we heard from many folks from across the state. We had four meetings with that study committee. A lot of information came out of it, as you and I spoke about earlier. But I tell you, the end of the day, it's getting school districts out of silos. We need to get the state school board. They need to get involved and update their truancy reporting, and also notifications to parents and teachers as well.
Yeah. What about you? What's causing this problem? There's so many things, right?
One of the things that we've identified is the school counselor to student ratio is funded in the QBE formula. We absolutely know that we have to update and modernize that because many students face a lot of issues. And the other issue that we found is something that I've talked to Senator Dixon about, is our children in need of service, which are CHINS cases, which are handled by DFACS and the juvenile courts. And there's a myriad of issues that we have to work through to address those issues.
Yeah. I know you spoke earlier about parents withdrawing students from schools for a reason we may not think about. Just, they do it.
Yeah, they do, and it could be for, a number of reasons, but, one of the findings was because of avoiding, the chronic absenteeism or having to deal with that or report. That is one of the reasons that parents are withdrawing kids from school, unfortunately.
So let's talk about the recommendations. Among them is, dealing with high school students is to take away their driver's licenses. Talk about that.
Yeah, some penalties that would be very severe to my two teenage kids at home. If you lost your driver's license, that would be very detrimental. That, or maybe the cell phone might be worse. But that would be a severe penalty for teenagers, for enforcement of attending school. Also, there was talk of adding in where they would not be eligible for sports or any extracurricular activities with the school.
So their students who are chronically absent and still play sports, probably. Yeah.
That's what was reported in the findings of the study committee.
Wow. What sticks out for you in terms of what to do?
This was my predecessor, Senator Lester Jackson, who served before I got to the state Senate when I was in the state House, focused on raising the dropout age from 16 to 17. We feel that students don't know exactly what to do at 16 years old. They don't know exactly what decision to make. But we think by raising that 1 year will help also address some of this chronic absenteeism, is because students say, well, I'm 16, so I can just drop out and go through the process to drop out. And some parents who may be in a tough spot may want that student, that child to go into the workforce, but that's not what's going to be in that child's best interest. Studies have shown us that children who have a high school diploma versus those who do not make over $1 million more in their lifetime.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about parents. Isn't there something to maybe punish parents who are sometimes part of the problem?
Yeah, there is. That was one of the, as far as the recommendations from the study committee, not only, you know, punishing students, but also holding parents accountable as well, because you're dealing with minor children. So at the end of the day, it's the parents' responsibility to make sure the child makes it to school. So there were measures put in place from up to 30 days of imprisonment, fines exceeding over $1,000. So, I mean, it was pretty stiff recommendations coming out of that study committee.
Yeah, so some of this will be in the form of legislation, but some of it sounds like it's part of a fiscal note, you know, at this point.
I think some of the issues might be, as we talk about holding parents accountable, I also think that there's a portion of parents that work jobs that may have attendance policies and a point system, and the parent doesn't want to leave their job to go enforce why this child's not at school, and so they may lose their job, which they may have other children to take care of, and that's a major factor in that. But we can't hold the parent accountable if the parent's doing everything they can with the child. We've got to make sure that there are other services to ensure that that child has success, because we have many parents who are surrendering their children at juvenile court and saying, you take them. And the state has no ability to care for all of these children. So we have to figure out what we need to do as a state.
Yeah. As bad as it 21% sounds, some states you said are worse than Georgia.
It was reported over 20 states had over 30% of chronic absenteeism. And that, when you talk about chronic absenteeism, when you talk about truancy, that kicks in, you know, 5 to 10 days plus days that are absent. Chronic absenteeism is 10% of the school year missed, 180 days, so that's 18 days. So that's quite a bit of school to miss. And it could be an array of issues, you know, with a child from being at home or issues at school.
So it's really good that you guys looked into this. So I look forward to hearing more about some of the things you're doing. I want to get into something else with you. You have a bill dealing with mandatory kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that. Where did it start for you?
Kindergarten is not a grade that we mandate compulsory attendance. But one of the ways that we know what's happening with children is when they show up and report to school. And if you have a kindergartner, your pediatrician may not report anything or send anything to the school system, because you don't have to put your child in kindergarten. One of the things that we found is that when employers are looking to come to Georgia, they're looking at the education level of the workforce. And if we're only preparing students in the first grade, students, if you don't come into kindergarten, you have to test into first grade. And majority of all students that test in have to be remediated and caught back up, because they don't have some of the basic foundational skill levels. And so we want to just make sure that children are being educated and that they are enrolled in school, because if they're not, it's usually an indicator of a much larger issue. The Senator Dixon spoke about earlier, we had a case in Effingham County where this family, the Crockers, basically murdered their two children, and they withdrew them from school to homeschool them and to subvert the mandatory attendance policy, and those children were being abused at home and no one knew about it because they were homeschooled.
Okay. So what would your bill do?
It would basically just allow parents to enroll their children into kindergarten. As a state, we already funded in QBE. We fund K-12 education. We just don't require that you send your child to kindergarten. And this would then require an all-day kindergarten program, because we technically pay for an all-day kindergarten program. And we will ensure that every child that comes into kindergarten has a K-12 teacher on the K-12 teaching salary schedule, and that children are starting as early as possible, not because we want to take your children and put them in school, but we know that as a state, we cannot grow in economic development if children don't know how to read, they're not prepared for success. And if you want to see a reduction in criminal justice, you want to see a reduction in poverty, you want to see a reduction in social entitlement programs, make sure children are in kindergarten.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on this?
No, I agree with Senator Mallow. You know, and you see it across, you know, any reports dealing with education. The earlier you get kids in school, the better off they are. That head start at any age, you know, preschool, you know, it is growing even before kindergarten. And you hear a lot of parents say that's a must have to make sure that they're on track to be in kindergarten. So if we're not requiring kindergarten, could potentially be putting a sector of kids behind. So I would fully support that.
How unusual is Georgia with not having mandatory kindergarten?
Georgia falls among several other states that don't require kindergarten, but we've seen shifts like in Oklahoma and other states that are conservative that they're moving to kindergarten, and they're moving actually a little further, moving into pre-K, because they understand that if we don't get children in school and educated earlier, we'll spend more money on the back end trying to address other issues than if we had those children educated much sooner.
Yeah, and you're from the Savannah area. You've got the military bases around there, and you've got people coming in whose kids have maybe been in kindergarten before they come to the state.
That's right, and I talk to school principals throughout my district, and they tell me, Derek, we have kids that come and show up, and parents just don't even know that their child is supposed to be in kindergarten, and it started off because maybe they signed up for pre-K on the lottery. They didn't get a slot in pre-K, and so they didn't come back. They just know, okay, well, you got to go to school at first grade. That's what the pediatrician will tell you. Hey, you have to enroll your child in first grade. Well, that kid just missed out on 2 years of education because they didn't get in on pre-K on the lottery. So they were just sitting at home watching TV. Somebody was babysitting. We don't know what the issue is. Parents struggle to afford with childcare right now. So this is one way that we can incentivize our workforce to show up.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on all of these bills. Thank you both for being here.
That wraps up this episode of Lawmaker Spotlight. These conversations are part of the reporting you see on Lawmakers, our nightly show on GPB TV, covering the Georgia General Assembly. You can watch us weeknights for updates, interviews, and analysis from under the Gold Dome. I'm Donna Lowry. Thanks for being here.